I supposed to know how you want to conduct the program?
They're just making stuff up.
Something's going to hit the something.
You go, wow, what happened?
Silence! Lay down!
You have somewhere to be. I've traveled all across the fabric of space-time.
This is the Drex Radio Show on KGO 810.
Hello, my name is Pancho Alvarez Manchero II, or as I am now called after the running of the Bulls, Two-Hole Pancho. I am here today to announce the formation of a new movement inspired by the people who decide that a great thing to do is dress up in white and run down a narrow street in front of 30,000 pounds of pretty pissed-off livestock. It's called Idiot Lives Matter. Help us ensure that millions of lives do not end with the words, "Hey, watch this." Stop the insanity before another person ends up on Spain's funniest home videos. In the days to come, you'll hear about Idiot Lives Matter gatherings and protests in a city near you. Unless we get drunk and get lost, which is a distinct possibility. Idiot Lives Matter, coming soon to the Republican and Democratic conventions.
Well, good luck with that. Chip will be that. Idiot Lives Matter. I'm not so sure. If you remember last year when they did the running of the bulls, the one guy who was killed and gored to death was an American who was trying to take a selfie with the bull. Idiot lives don't always matter. And then I read the story over the weekend. It was foreshadowed by all the horrible news, but nonetheless, about a matador who was gored to death in Mexico. Well, that's what happens when you F around with bulls. Stuff happens. Bull stuff. All right, it's just past 8 o'clock. You're listening to the Drex Radio Show live and local in the Bay and around the world on the KGO app. And as the sun sets, we are now live all across the western United States and Canada. Thank you for joining us. It's Monday night, and that means Marty Nemco. But, oh, there he is. I was going to say I can't find my mouse, so I don't know if I can find you, Marty. There you are. Hi, Marty.
Hi. Well, just think of me as one big bull you're playing with.
I know. Yeah. I never understood the – would you do the running of the bulls thing?
Never in a million years. I mean, no. Just think that, you know, my life would go all for what? So some bull can stick his whatever is, you know, through my chest? I don't think so.
And thank God you don't seem like a selfie stick person.
You know, I must admit that I do check my I Google myself with some frequency, so I can't be. I'm kind of selfie-ish. How often do you Google yourself?
I don't. Let me see here. Should I punch in Marty Nemco? Let's see what I see. Let's see if it's good or bad. Career. Well, look at you. You've got your own little bio to the right. Yeah, you're a big shot.
Google is very nice to me after I paid him the $10,000. No.
Let me just see what I get. Let me see. My sordid past, God only knows. Well, if you have to go down there for my – you have to scroll down for my gigolo days. But it does start with Drex KGOAM, and it starts all of that. Then began doing his career, York, Pennsylvania, blah, blah, blah. Okay, Chicago, yeah. So they got it right.
Dear listeners, okay, now, you know, as you're listening, now Google yourself and see if you're surprised, because that's a really good way. You know, Google tells – there is no more secrets. So you will know what the world thinks of you and what's out there about you. Google it. There's the first takeaway for tonight. Google yourself right now on your phone or whatever.
That's interesting. But what if you don't like what you see?
Very good question. And it really don't get sucked into those for fee services that promise. They call it reputation improvers or whatever.
Right.
All they do really is they post artificial new websites under your with your name in it to hopefully push down below page one that evil thing saying what a dishonest, miserable person you are.
That's right.
That you can do yourself. So they charge a fortune for something that you can do for yourself very quickly. You can just buy a bunch of URL. You know, if your name is Rosie O'Rosie, then just buy rosieorosie.com.net.org.whatever. And have a website with that name and your name all over the place in it, Rosie O'Rosie in the first paragraph and in the second paragraph and the third paragraph, so that when Google, what they call the spider, searches for you, that website comes up and gets listed ahead of the one that says, what a miserable good-for-nothing you are.
Wow,
now,
that's really good stuff.
If you are a reasonable good-for-nothing, then maybe it's a wake-up call. Maybe you should, don't focus so much on hiding it, maybe changing it.
Yeah, I know, but I love that advice because, you know, there are those cleanup services out there, and I often wondered about that. I was like, well, you know, you can move this, that, or the other. But one of the things that happened to me is I trademarked my name, but so many people are stealing it. So when I look at it, I just keep thinking, well, someday I'm going to sue every single one of these bastards.
You have better things to do with your life. Do you ever confuse your name with that artificial lumber made out of plastic, old plastic bottles, Trex?
I saw that Trex commercial. It seems to me like it's a good idea.
Oh, because that's a commercial. Here's the downside. It's twice as expensive as Redwood. It's hot as hell.
Oh, is
it? Walk on it. At least I'm not sure, but I'm pretty sure there's somebody, this is my memory, if my service immersed me correctly. You walk on it. You know, very often, like I walk on my deck barefoot, and it's unless it's really hot, it's okay. But I hear that if you walk on any of that plastic wisdom, not just Trex, but all of them, you know, you're going to be, it's like walking on coals almost.
Oh, that's interesting because, you know, when I do think of, and I had a huge, when I was at my last place, I had a huge redwood deck, and it was so much work. And you've got to constantly replace those things, and God forbid if somebody falls through. I mean, it, you know, there goes the money.
Constantly replace. Look, you know, I've had my redwood deck for about 30 years, and yes, you know, of course, look, Drex, if you aren't buying that cheap stuff that's all with the white wood, not real redwood, yes, it will rot. But if you buy, simply you buy construction heart redwood, that stuff lasts for 20, 30 years. And it's half the price these days of that supposedly environmentally responsible plastic stuff. And maybe it is environmentally responsible. I don't want to get sued.
Recycled.
But, yeah, but certainly redwood is... is a fine choice.
Well, redwood is always redwood, and that's good wood. This is interesting, and they threw this my way on Friday, and I thought, well, I'm going to save this for Marty, but I don't know if I'll use it or not, but I'm going to throw it at you. Nowadays, even work emails, I see people using emojis. 40% of bosses say it's okay. 21% are fine with it. But I'm going to ask you as you know, a career coach, whether you think it's okay to use emojis in your emails, company emails.
Absolutely. I'm in the 21%. What's the problem if something, you know, especially because there's so much miscommunication that can occur in an email when they don't know you're joking or sarcastic or really sad
right,
or whatever.
Right, the context, right.
It gives you, you know, there's no tone of voice or whatever. So the emoji enables you to express that emotion. This is, you know, I think that bosses get too... And you know, sometimes I'll defend bosses, but in this case, I think bosses are too invasive. If they're going to tell somebody in their email that they can't have a smile or a frowny emoji or even a cynical emoji, that's micromanaging.
Now, I agree with you. And here, let's just take a trip back in time just to several years when we started texting. Remember when we used to, when text, if we can look way back there about 6 or 7 or 8 years, when texting first started and became a thing, how many times did we sit and look at the text and say to ourselves, what did they mean by that?
Exactly. You know, but the magical answer to all questions and all problems, like what does that stand for, like EOM, just Google it. These days, there's ever more of these acronyms or whatever.
FOMO and all that stuff.
Yeah. Right. And so... just Google it. And that's always my magical answer. Like when there's something wrong with my computer, I don't call the guy right away. I simply type my problem in with the operating system or the software I'm using. And it's amazing the percentage of times it's a workaround because humankind, this is the upside of humankind. There are so many good people who just, for no money or whatever, are happy to answer people's technical questions merely to be good citizens, like the people who write reviews on Amazon. So don't forget about the obvious. Google it, whether it's trying to figure out what the abbreviation stands for, your computer problem, or anything. The wisdom of the world is available for free on just Googling. It will go down in history as the most amazing and productive invention in the last 50 years.
I totally believe you. Look at that. And right here from the Bay, we own it. All right, we're going to take a break. We'll be back with our career coach, Marty Nemko. MartyNemko.com is his website. Or you can Google him and take a look at his pretty face and all his millions of articles on Psychology Today and all that good stuff. We'll be back. But first, with a look at traffic, here's Lee Grant. To a brand new week, you're listening to the Drex Radio Show on KGO 810. Marty Nemko, our career coach, is helping us get it through this Monday. So five things that people do to get through Mondays. By the way, two-thirds of us hate Mondays. They have lots of sex is number five. They exercise is number four. They eat lots of food is number three. They listen to music or radio is number two. And number one, they drink lots of coffee. I don't know. Which any of those?
I'll admit that I love coffee, and you know, we're in an era of what's called personalized medicine, where we know that some drugs work well for some people. I'll give you this is going to be an example of too much information.
Okay.
You know, the most common popular jock itch medication or athlete's foot medication is Lotrimin. Doesn't do squat for me, but the old Tenactin is perfect, even though it's been largely superseded. Same with coffee. Coffee is a great drug for me. It makes me feel upbeat, smarter, takes me out of sadness. And for some people, it makes them jittery and they hate it. So for me, coffee is my number one way of dealing with any moment of feeling crappy.
Fast Actin, Tenactin, and a cup of Java for you.
Exactly. Not mixed, however. I'm careful not to, instead of sugar, put the my Tenactin or whatever in the coffee, definitely.
Well, that might be the cure-all to end-all. Hey, but I agree with you. I mean, that's very interesting. So I, even as a morning man, I would, you know, people would think I would drink a lot of coffee, and I know people who do drink a lot of coffee. But just one cup a day, how many cups do you drink?
Well, it depends. If I'm feeling energetic, I usually just have one in the afternoon. There's a fancy term called a diurnal dip that every human being in mid-afternoon, most people, tend to have a dip. And if I can't afford to kind of just, you know, take a hike with the dog or hang out or even a power nap, which I do about once every 6 months, I will have that cup of coffee. But if I'm feeling sometimes in mid-morning, I'll feel like, you know, I wouldn't mind a little pepper-upper and I can have one then. How about you?
Yeah, no, I do the 3 o'clock thing, which is very interesting because, you know, just thinking off the top of my head, and I haven't thought about it for a long time, just the fact that I drink a cup of coffee before I come in here because it completely changes everything mentally and in a positive way. But that's tea time. So the Brits have had it right forever.
How about that?
God bless them.
I never thought about that. You're right. Good point.
It is. Hey, let me run this by you because we were talking about Google, and you said it will forever.
Wait, before we do, can I? I am very proud of my coffee. Can I give my recipe for how I make coffee?
Oh, please do. It better just be black.
I'm sure you're thrilled. No, it's not. The key, there's some secrets. First of all, don't waste your money on an expensive coffee maker.
Nope.
A leading consumer magazine says that Mr. Coffee is the best. So I use a plain old Mr. Coffee. Cost me about $30. It's gorgeous. And
me and you both. Yes, I'm same page.
Very good. Here is the magical secret. I do buy whole bean coffees. You know, usually whatever is on either Pete's or Starbucks, their house blend is very delicious. Whatever is on sale. And now here's the point. I buy whole beans so that it stays fresh. But here's the secret. I put powdered cinnamon into right where the filter is, in the filter, not after the coffee is made, so that the cinnamon goes through along with the coffee. That, my dear friends, is the secret to awesome coffee.
Wow, yeah, and that probably does a little something.
It's also supposed to be a very good antioxidant.
That's great for lowering all
kinds of inflammation or whatever, and it tastes good. So no risk, no calories. There's coffee.
Yeah, okay, I thought you were going to get into sugar and milk and cream and oh my God, no! But I love that
I'm a wuss. Yeah, I have one sugar or sugar and a half and a little bit of cream. Yeah. I'm a wuss. You're not. You're black coffee.
Black coffee.
That's disgusting.
No, and I will let it sit in the Mr. Coffee for up to 3 days and still drink it. I'd zap it.
Really?
Yeah, caffeine's
caffeine.
3 days.
No wonder you were in the hospital.
I'm only drinking one cup a day, though. That's it.
Three. You know, that's fermented. That's probably 12 proof by alcohol. They should probably put an alcohol tax on that.
I don't know. Well, so let me get to this. So I want to ask you about Google because you made a great statement about Google that it'll turn out to be one of the greatest inventions of man in our day and our time.
And woman, be careful now.
And women, yes.
Yes,
God bless Serena. She won, and so did Andy. Andy won, too, over the weekend. So let's get to this. So since you're a career coach, one of the biggest things that has been said about this is a negative thing about Google, that there is no more brain retention anymore because we can just simply Google anything. So therefore, we really don't know much about anything at all.
Ridiculous. Just because, you know, when I can imagine when the Encyclopedia Britannica came out or the World Book in 1950, they say, oh, it's all going to be there so nobody can have a memory. It doesn't affect, you know, we're, first of all, we're not that malleable. Or we really are. It's not politically acceptable to say, but the truth is we are heavily genetic and partly environment, and our ability to memorize whatever is something that is not so. There have been millions of studies that show memory training, you know, the NBAC double training does not have an impact long term on memory. So, no. And even if it did, like I said, the information, starting with Gutenberg in 1496 or whatever it was, made information available in front of people, and certainly the encyclopedias did. Google only makes it, it is a distiller. What Google is, it enables you to access an enormous amount of information and distills. Why distills? Because they don't just list things in at random. The listings that come up at the top are the result of a very complex algorithm that speaks to the amount of people using it and forwarding it, and so you are disproportionately going to be getting the most useful information in the world, and whether you choose to memorize it or not has nothing to do with Google. Google is a facilitator, not an inhibitor.
Well, and as we look forward, I mean, Google Glass was a giant disappointment, but that let's face it, that's going to be fixed. I mean, you know, sooner or later you're going to see everything in your glasses, and that's what time it will be. So, I mean, just as you think about it, it'll pop up right in front of your eyes.
In your contact lens, I heard Michio Kaku, famous theoretical physicist, we're not going to have glasses. The equivalent of Google Glass, a little mini computer, is going to be in your contact lenses.
Nice, except I hate those.
Because they irritate your eyes?
Yeah, they make my eyes dry, and then that makes me tired. Yeah, I have to drink more coffee.
Right, exactly. Just make sure you put the cinnamon in
it and sugar and milk. All right.
What about Irish coffee? Now there's
I used to do that. Yeah, that was it. You know what? I love that. Truthisms from Marty Nemko and Drex. I would always start the Irish coffee thing on a Sunday morning, and that would be my polite excuse to start drinking early.
See, you know, I don't normally like to advertise, but I was introduced to Irish coffees at San Francisco's Buena Vista Cafe, which is, I guess, near Fisherman's Wharf, and they still are the best I've ever had. So if you've never had one and you're wondering what excellence in Irish coffee is like, head over to the Buena Vista, and I swear nobody's paid me to say that.
And what do they put in their Irish coffee? Because everybody does it a little bit different.
I guess
Jameson?
My most vivid memory really is just of the extremely heavy cream at the top.
Oh, well, that would be
delicious.
Would that be Kahlua? Or what am I thinking of?
I mean cream, like heavy whipped, whipping cream.
What am I thinking?
You know, I don't know the liquor they put in it. It's just I've never tasted anything as calorific and as smooth and sweet and delicious as that at the very top of the Buena Vista. Now, this was years ago, so they may have cheapened out and used half and half as far as I know, but at least that's my memory. We're talking coffee. That's a novel approach to call it. To
Bailey's.
Drink your healthy coffee.
Bailey's is what I'm thinking about. Bailey's,
oh, right. Bailey's Irish Cream.
Yes. Yes.
That's delicious stuff, too.
Yes, that's fantastic. Yeah.
And as a career coach, I strongly recommend you drink neither during your workday. Isn't that a brilliant career coaching suggestion?
Now, I think you're right. Just stick, as much as it pains everybody, whip out your $8 and go have a Starbucks.
I know. Isn't it ridiculous? You know what the profit margin
absurd.
Is? On the other hand, though, you know, they really do. To think about it, you can spend your afternoon working there. It's like renting an office for free for the cost of they don't advertise this, but the regular, they advertise a tall and a venti, a grande and a venti. But they also will sell you a regular that's even cheaper. So for about $1.50, you can get a cup of coffee and essentially rent a lovely place to sit and do your work with on your computer or your phone or whatever. So I shouldn't be begrudging Starbucks because they really do create a lovely environment which you can rent dirt cheap and buy a cup of coffee.
And I think that's what you're paying for. But boy, I we're so on the same page. I mean, at home, Mr. Coffee's it. Oh, by the way, since we're on Mr. Coffee, one other trick that I heard is that you should always use hot water in the Mr. Coffee. So start with hot water into the Mr. Coffee.
Mistake, and here's why.
No.
If you get the hot water from your tap, the hot water is a different set of pipes, and it has absorbed the minerals from the probably rotted pipes that you've had, where cold water is less likely to absorb that.
All
so
right.
Whatever I would say for health reasons, use cold water.
All right. Well, you might be right about that. That makes too much sense. I'll Google that and get back to you. Marty Nemko, you are the man. I will talk to you in a week, all right?
It's always fun, hopefully helpful.
Yes, and hopefully we'll have a much better week than we did last week.
Indeed. No more shootings, please. Yeah,
please, people. All right. Thank you, Marty. Have a good night and a good rest of the week. We'll take a break and we'll be back and we'll begin the Late Night Late Show wrap-up on the Drex Radio Show on KGOA 10 with a look at traffic.
Is your life worth a Jigglypuff? It's time to Pokestop the madness. Say Pokemon No to Pokemon Go. A message from this station and the rest of us who would kindly like you to
pay attention where you're going, jack.
Yes, and a message to my cell phone carrier. Knock it off with the overuse of data with my Pokemon Go. it seems like any time I try to do anything on an app nowadays, you get that message, oh, $20 more will give you more data. Sign up for a new plan. That'll be $50 more a month. I'm like, oh, my God. You know, you people are freaks.
Talk about nickel and diming.
I know. It drives me insane. And then here's when it happens, and I bet it happens to you at the same time. Guess what happens? When you're trying to drive and that full page ad comes up like when you're looking at Waze, it fills up the entire page. Like, bite me. No. Close. All right. Ask me
how I really feel.
Yeah, not.
We just said that at the same time.
I know. All right. So Pokemon Go is more than just a game. It really is a phenomenon, and it's meant to bring people together. Really? Something that's going to bring this country together is going to be Pokemon Go? Is it that easy? Well, hallelujah, people. I don't know. I honestly can't remember a time any platform, as far as I'm concerned, that really does capture the imaginations and has dominated national conversation, social media, and real life the way this whole thing like Pokemon Go has. It's more than just a major game release. It's really is, and it has become a phenomenon. Started right here in San Francisco. Perhaps, I think, maybe more importantly, it's a phenomenon that people never knew. I didn't see it coming. I mean, I heard about it, and then I got into it, and yes, this is why it's bad. You know, people, you walk around Embarcadero, you're down here in San Francisco, pedestrians don't know what they're doing. Go over to Lombard Street one time, that curvy street, with all those idiots there with their selfie sticks, and they wonder why people run over them. So now they're Pokemon Go away. Anyway, it's a phenomenon that many people never saw coming. I didn't, and I'm not merely talking about the gamers here. People who don't normally play games, who don't play Pokemon games, are talking about Pokemon Go. All right, I mean, this isn't like the release of Doom. You know, I fly jets. I have tank battles. Oh, Mobile Strike is my new thing. I'm all over that.
Yeah, but you're not ruining other people's lives by getting in the way.
Yeah.
With your Pokemon game.
You think selfie sticks are bad. Just wait till this gets... I mean, it already is. So, people I know who don't keep up with the games at all are well aware of Pokemon Go. Some think it's funny. Some people are damn annoyed about it. Whatever the case is, everyone is either talking about it or hearing about Pokemon Go. And do you want to describe it to everybody?
Yeah, so basically, I've never played it, but from what I understand,
I was looking at it.
People
today.
Looking.
I have it.
People go looking for things, and they are able to find them, but they have to actually go out and walk to play the game.
That's right. So it is a bit of a Fitbit. Yes.
But they put you in the weirdest situations. Like some people were playing it late at night, and it stuck them in somebody's backyard, and the person who owned the house wasn't very excited about that.
You're using your Bluetooth, and it's connecting with people around you, and yes, you do find yourself outside walking around, which I think is brilliant.
And climbing fences.
Yes, except if the people are creepy. I don't want somebody in my yard looking for Pokemon Go. It's Pokemon Gnomon. I hope my basset hound bites the hell out of you.
Get off my lawn.
Get off my lawn! Yeah, I'm that guy. Not yet.
Well, you know what, Drex? If you're living in San Francisco, 20,000 people have responded to this Pokemon pub crawl that's going to happen
that's
coming Wednesday from 6 p.m. until 1 a.m. People are going to be out playing Pokemon,
Pokemon Go
on the streets of San Francisco.
I think that's a lot of fun.
20,000 people say they're interested. 4,200 say that they're going. They're going to be there.
So here, I love that social part of it, and it makes you get off your ass, and you're actually out there doing stuff in real time, and it's fun, and you don't know who you're going to meet, and hopefully they're not going to be, you know, murderers, and it's not going to become Red Rum or anything like that. But, yeah, I mean...
Or muggers. People have run into that problem.
Yes, already. Yes, people are getting mugged. Yes, and jacked. Where's my story about the girl who found the dead body? Oh, here we go. So, over the weekend, she was playing Pokemon Go. As I said, it's an obvious big hit. 19-year-old girl in Riverton, Wyoming, playing Pokemon Go Friday morning, and she wandered down towards a river to try to find a water monster. She was looking for the water monster, okay? Instead, she found a dead body. Now, and to her credit, she stopped...
A monster of a different kind.
Yes, she stopped trying to find Pokemon characters, and she did take the time out to call 911.
Oh, good for her.
Isn't that nice?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know why I'm laughing. That's just what it's come down to. Hold on a second. I got to call 911. There's a damn body.
That's kind of crazy.
I know.
Because
anyway,
what if she never went out? If Pokemon Go was never invented, she wouldn't be down there, and the body would have never been found.
Well, what if she would have been down there when they were taking care of that body?
Yeah, that's not good.
The cops say they're trying to identify the body, but they think the guy died by accident. You know, this isn't the only insanity to come from Pokemon Go this weekend either. The cops in O'Fallon, Missouri, just arrested three guys who were targeting Pokemon Go players and robbing them at gunpoint. So, wouldn't play it at night around here, or in Oakland, or San Jose, or anywhere.
Well, they're going until 1 a.m. this Wednesday.
Okay, so, yes, but that's a social event. With a bunch of San Francisco drunks, and we love them all, and they're all nice and peaceful, and we're all peaceniks, and they're stoned, and it's just going to be a good old time. Take your clothes off and, you know.
Walk down Market Street.
Right. And what did she find? Oh, her water monster. Yeah, snatch yourself a water monster. Now, let me tell you one bad thing about the Pokemon Go. If you've signed into Pokemon Go with your Google account, you might have just handed your digital life over to the game developers of the world.
Fantastic.
They all have your information.
That was definitely Pikachu. My intention.
Pikachu. Apparently, they may be peeking at you.
God bless you.
Pikachu.
God bless you.
Yes. You're welcome. Thank you. Maybe you got to catch them all, but you're not the only one with the collection fever. Anyway, so the developer of Pokemon Go, what is the name of the company? Niantic Lab has full access to your Google account if you used it to log into the game from an iOS device. That gives that company access to all your information, as well as the ability to post, delete, and send things from your account. In other words, logging in with your Google account is a super effective way to hand over your email, contacts, photos, documents, and everything. Everything. So I would highly advise you not to sign in with Google. That is according to CNET. Let me throw that out there. Don't come after me, people.
Sounds like something from a Terminator movie, CNET.
No, they're a well-known publication website of the tech industry.
Okay.
So don't be saying Drexy Drawers said it. Drexy Drawers is reading. Niantic and Google did not respond for a request for this story. I suppose not, because why did they need to? They already know everything.
They knew you were sending that request before you sent it.
Yeah. Okay. I'm going to take a break when we come back. Speaking of the girl who, at least when she found the dead body, she did, instead of getting that water monster, she found a dead body monster, but she did take time out to call 911. I have a great 999 call coming up here next. This is great because we're going to start with the fun stuff with the late night, late show wrap up. And there are some other interesting things that I want to get to. But it's 999 in the UK.
Okay.
At least until they Brexit. But right now, it's time for me to Drexit. Here's Lee Gray. Drex is the name. 7 more days until Mandela Day. 11 more days until Star Trek Beyond. I'm kind of excited about that. 25 more days until Zika in Rio. 31 more days. No. 53 more days until Labor Day. And 193 days left of hope and change.
Are you a Trekkie?
Yeah. I do like Star Trek.
All right, cool, cool. Yeah. I do too. I'm kind of a fan of that.
Well, you know that Sulu's gay now, but George Takei is not happy about that.
I did, because they're supposed to be beyond all this stuff.
Right. I don't know why. You know what? As pro-gay as I am, I don't like it when it just feels like they're just doing it to do it.
Yeah.
You know?
Like they're just trying to jam it into the
right,
hole,
just
that's what's
right.
Well, happening in this era.
Because especially when they're not talking about the sexuality of any other character.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you know, when I think of Star Trek, I don't think of sex, period.
No.
No. No, right?
And I never have either.
Right. It just seems like, you know, it's placating something that's not necessary.
Yeah. I can
and again, believe
me,
you're listening to Mr. LGBT. I mean, come on.
You know there's a Star Trek convention here in San Francisco in November.
No, I'm not down with that.
And you don't speak Klingon or anything?
No, I don't.
All right.
That's weird.
You won't be seeing Drex, guys.
Yeah. You know, now, Furby conventions, I like that. I like those a lot. I just hide my thing with a big skunk tail.
That's horrific. You mean furries, right? No, Furbies are like little toys that kids play with. Furries are different.
No, they're
Furries are very different.
Furbies are the same thing, isn't it?
No, Furbies.
No, hold on.
Furbies are like little Pokemon.
Okay.
They're like little.
Who are the creeps who get together and be
Those are furries.
Those are furries,
yes.
Who be doozing it.
Yes.
Yeah, that's what I'm into. No, I'm not. Okay, so let's have fun with this. So we have our 911. We've got idiots, right? So England has 999, and guess what? They've got idiots. Let's take a listen.
This is your head operator.
Coordinating a mobile.
Hello, if you're the police, what's the location of your emergency?
Hello, yes, it's not an emergency. It's just the fact that I've lost my remote control for my TV.
Right.
And it's answering. I'm going to put my TV on, and I have troubles with my next door neighbour. And I'm worried that they are going to complain that I've got the sound is too loud.
Right, the fact that you've lost your remote control is not a police matter.
I haven't lost it.
But it's not a police matter at the moment, okay?
I haven't lost it, it's gone.
Right, it's not a police matter and not something that needs to be reported on 999.
Okay, so I want you to know that if my next door neighbour reports me for having my TV on too loud and you come and knock at my door for having my TV too loud, it's not my fault.
Right, but we can't discuss this on an emergency line, unfortunately.
Okay, I understand that. Okay.
All right, thank you.
Let's have some tea and crumpets. They're so much more polite over there, aren't they?
Some things do not sound smarter in an English accent.
No, not at all. Here they send that, you know, oh, I don't know, Mr. Sheriff Feelgood over there to bust her ass. But you know what you need, lady? You need one of my favorite new things. And I this is probably San Francisco technology.
Oh, very nice.
Tile.
Yeah.
Tile, everybody. It's on my bag. It's on my keys. It's in my wallet. And guess what else? Guess where else I have my Tile? On my television remote. I taped it there this weekend. So, you know, I can find anything. Where are Drex's keys? Oh, there they are. Nicely done. Love Tile? Yes, I do.
Well, but if you can't find your smartphone, you're screwed.
Yeah, that would be a problem. Yeah, I don't have a Tile for that. You know, you can put a Tile on there, but it kind of self-defeats the purpose because you have to have the phone to...
Yeah.
That's why you have Find Your Phone and you have two devices.
Oh, there you go.
Your iPad. Yeah, right. You know what I'm saying? Okay. Enjoy this. Check out this impressionist singing Bohemian Rhapsody in a whole bunch of different celebrity voices. His name is Jim Maskimmon. And in this clip, he does William Shatner, Willie Nelson, Tom Waits, Dean Martin, Maurice Chevalier, whoever that, am I messing that up? Chevalier, I don't know. Christopher Walken and Bob Dylan. Are we ready? Here we go.
We'll start off with William Shatner. Is this the real life? Is this just fantasy caught in a landslide? There's no escape from reality.
Willie Nelson.
Open your eyes. Look up to the skies. see. Tom Waits.
I'm just a poor boy. I need no sympathy.
Dean Martin.
Easy come, easy go. Little high, little low.
Maurice Chevalier.
Anyway, the wind blows. Doesn't really matter to me. Not to me.
Christopher Walken.
Mama. Just killed a man. Put a gun against his head. Pulled my trigger, now he's dead.
Bob Dylan.
Mama. Ooh, life. Life had just begun. Oh, but now you've gone and thrown it all away.
That's fun. Were you watching Giants baseball Saturday? So Jake Peavy was pitching for the Giants on Saturday. In between pitches, he caught a ball from the catcher without knowing it was coming to him. It was just like unbelievable. He was looking away when the catcher threw it, and it hit him in the shoulder and dropped right into his glove. I mean, he wasn't looking because he was arguing with the third base umpire about the call. And it like hit his shoulder from the back, and it dropped right into his glove. I mean, I don't know. If there's a baseball god, that was it. Listen.
No swing, says Quinn. Oh, look out.
How about that? Bozy just threw the ball in the glove, and Peavy wasn't looking.
Wow.
Whee! Because they're thinking it's going to hit Peavy right in the head.
By the way, that's not the first time something like that's happened. There was a wide receiver in the Canadian Football League, the CFL, who caught a touchdown pass last week without even looking at the ball. Again, he didn't know it was coming. The quarterback just hit him right in the arm, and somehow he ran in. He held on to it and ran it in. His name is Ryan Smith, and he plays for the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. The quarterback's name is Drew Willey.
Well, this is a great look at that catch. It's like Drew Willey forced it into his arms.
Like Velcro.
Well, I mean, Smith isn't even looking.
I can't believe that catch.
Drew Willey just placed that right in his arm.
Hey, Ma, look what I got. It's like a magician's sleight of hand. Now you see it? Oh, there it is. Now you see me in the end zone. That's crazy.
That is crazy. Wow, congratulations to both of them. Serena Williams, speaking of congratulations, won her 22nd Grand Slam singles title at Wimbledon on Saturday to tie Steffi Graf for the most all time. And it's pretty incredible. So let's take a listen.
Triple championship point for major title number 22.
It's like running stuff.
She has done it. Serena Williams' supreme achievement. Side by side with Steffi Graf. The catch 22 here at Wimbledon.
First, thank you to God, Jehovah, for letting me be out here and do this. I couldn't have done it without him and my family, my mom, my dad, who isn't here, but I know he's watching. Thank you guys for being out here to see number 22. This is awesome. So I
That's
love you guys
truly
so
amazing.
Much. Thank you very much.
God bless that girl. When I think about her and Sharapova with all that grunting and stuff, can I say this? What's the orgasm sound like?
Oh, no.
Well, no, I'm curious. I think it's human nature. Don't you wonder? By the way, one other funny thing. So Prime Minister David Cameron gets booed when and Andy Murray says he wouldn't want that job. Yes, Andy Murray won the men's title.
Lots of ex-players, legends up there watching as well. It's a pleasure to play in front of you. The Prime Minister of the country as well here.
That's my...
You know, I think playing in a Wimbledon final is tough, but I certainly wouldn't like to be a prime minister. It's an impossible job. So.
Well, don't bitch. We could send you Trump. You almost had it with Boris Johnson, but that's not happening. Boy, they lucked out over there. Boy, they just got rid of him. They just, not him and Nigel Farage, out. Done. Okay, and if you don't follow that, well then, Brexit stage left, Drexit stage next, with the Late Night Late Show wrap-up coming up on KGO 810.